Welcome to the podcast, Claim Your Excellent Life, with your host, Suzanne Kellner-Zink, where she helps professional women learn how to be happy. Suzanne will teach you how to do this through building high self-esteem, relaxation and calm, and good, healthy relationships. Tune in every week as Suzanne shares effective strategies to help you claim your excellent life with happiness techniques, self-esteem building exercises, relationship tips, and relaxation information. Make sure to head over to dawningvisions.com to subscribe to the newsletter to receive your keys to happiness, as well as other useful free gifts for you.
In this episode of Claim Your Excellent Life, we are going to speak about the issue, the concern of knowing when to help and knowing when to lay off. There is a difference. As I've made publicly available, I drove myself across the country, starting August 9th, arriving in West Hollywood, quarter of midnight, August 14th, making it 5 full days of driving, 12-hour days, by and large, to get across country. To be among those people who have accomplished the things similar to those things that I would love to be able to accomplish to get my mission, my purpose, my passion out there in the world. Because as we know, the best way to do this is to follow those who've already charted the course and have found success doing these things already. In my case, it has to be following in the footsteps of people like Wayne Dyer, who graciously gave away his books to people who he thought were influential, who he appreciated, and let them know that he appreciated their gifts to the world by giving them a gift of his own, one of his books. Or Deepak Chopra, who has really brought spirituality into the world of the medical prototype of healing using Ayurvedic medicine through all of his work, all of these decades that he's been out there teaching through his books, through his lectures, and through, of course, his doctoring methodologies in the holistic manner in which the ancient ways of the Ayurvedic Indian healing methods come into our world and our lives, and we better understand these ancient healing methods. Or perhaps we have someone like Dr. Daniel Amen, who does brain scans and has done a lot of research more recently of brain injuries to football stars who have gone into dementia or have found it very hard to be able to function in their lives as a result of the head traumas that they've been through because of their careers in football, of which the NFL took little or no liability for creating for their superstars, now disabled men near retirement age, who can't take care of themselves. Or how about someone like Barbara DeAngelis, who's been on the stage for years and years and years speaking about relationships and how to have healthy relationships, or one of my most favorite people in the world who I've actually met and interviewed for this podcast last November, John Gray of Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus, is a person who has really been so very curious about how to heal, first of all, mental illness through his brother's request to help him with his manic depressiveness and the suicidality that he felt. Unfortunately, John failed at that mission, but he was able to help a ton of people through his work in psychology after getting his PhD. And then he moved on to the whole thing about how to create a relationship that actually works by honoring the differences between men and women in the hormones that make them run differently and apart from, however, symbiotically with one another, and then into supplements for healing a lot of those things that look like mental illness, which is really about malnutrition more than anything else, and then on to healing his own pre-Parkinson's through supplementation. He is, to my mind, a trailblazer in the world of healthcare unto his own being. These are the people that I came out to California to follow, to learn from, to be able to move into what I see as my new passion and purpose in life, mainly taking so much of the things that I've learned over the past lifetime, really, but certainly in terms of hypnosis, NLP, the last 12 years, 13 years or so, I lost count of how many years it's been. I got into it in 2002, so go ahead and do the math. I kind of suck at math, and you can figure out for yourself. I guess it's been about 12 years now that I've been doing the hypnosis and NLP, and I've learned through the graciousness and the openness of my clientele what they need in terms of healing. But you see, this is the thing. Not everybody wants to be healed of their problems. Some people enjoy the secondary gain that comes from having people snap to attention as soon as they snap their fingers and they say, I need you to do this. You need to come here and help me with this. As they're busily puking their guts out after drinking too much alcohol in an empty stomach, as was the case in my previous living situation, which I needed to desperately get out of for many different reasons. The dysfunctionality being lived there being only one of the problems. You know, I was in that household for 5 weeks. And being a person in the healing arts who works with people with addiction issues, I saw very closely in my realm, in that house, the dysfunctionality that was going on all around me. But most especially for the person who had leased that house, and the destructive behaviors that she was doing to her own body. A woman, I think she was 42 years old, cocktail waitress at night, three nights a week, coming in very, very early morning hours, partying all night long, going through some horrible situations in terms of her so-called friends who really were using and abusing her in many ways. And this became clear as I reached out to first her boyfriend, a really big no-no, but it had to be done. He said he loved her and that he wanted what was best for her, and for me to sit back and watch this dysfunction happen when he would not spend time in that house because of the dysfunctionality and all the partying that happened in that house and the people that were in that house who were abusive to one another as well as to others who would come into the house. He was sickened by the whole ordeal, emotionally did not want to be a part of it, and so separated himself apart from that particular place. Although she had offered for him to move in with her many, many times, he rejected the idea out of hand because he hated being in that environment. Now, one of the things that I realized being in that environment, other than just the sheer abuse that was going on between the players in that house, was the fact that the house was absolutely disgusting. When I moved in there, the very second day I was there that morning, I spent cleaning the floors at my hands and knees because it was that disgusting. The filth that came out of that marble floor in the bathroom, it was black in no time at all. It was disgusting. The sink was full of the apparatus and lotions of one of the people who lived there, who I believe was a stripper slash prostitute. How else do you make $1,900 in one night? I mean, seriously, unless you are some form of celebrity, which she is not. And noting the way that they ate and the way that they drank, mixing vodka and Red Bull, and the woman in the house was telling me how she was taking Valiums to get her sleep because she was so distraught over this relationship that she felt was being torn apart between her and her boyfriend because he was going through his own emotional traumas and disparaging feelings of lack of success here in the States, wanting so desperately to do what he wanted to do as a musician and yet finding it so hard to break in here in Hollywood. Because it is hard to break here in Hollywood. It's such a dysfunctional place. It's more dysfunctional even than Las Vegas, and I find that so hard to believe, but yet that was my fact, that was my reality, that was the truth. And I couldn't wait to get the hell out of there. And so I did. But let us get background to what the form of this particular podcast is about, and that's about when to help and knowing when to lay off. And you know, the truth came to me pretty suddenly and pretty harshly, actually, because I did call her boyfriend, and I texted her boyfriend, and I let him know what was going on there and that he needed to step in and get her some help, seriously speaking, because she was starving herself to death while at the same time drinking horrific amounts of vodka and Red Bull and doing lines of coke, maybe one line at a time, but it didn't matter. That was what was going on in that house. And the bottom line here is that when you have a person who is acting out so grievously against their own body, one needs to ask this question as to why this is going on. But that wasn't even the worst of it, because what really got me to text her boyfriend was the fact that at 5:30 one morning with the light on, I opened the door to the bathroom and I saw her passed out. I didn't know if she was dead or alive, quite honestly, on this disgusting rug in this bathroom that had very little space between the bathtub and the step into the bathtub because it was a jacuzzi bathtub, so it was a lot deeper than other normal bathtubs. And this very fancy glass counter double sink that was there. Well, the boyfriend had told me it was okay to tell her friend what was going on, and so I did tell him outside, away from her, that her life was at risk based on her behaviors, and I pointed out what was going on and how I knew what was going on, and further, how I knew that this behavior could lead to her demise very easily with the mixing of all the different chemicals and the lack of food, staying up all night, and just the general behavior in the household. And the problem was that although he listened to me that day, the next day, when he was totally drunk after staying up all night long with her partying, he yelled and screamed in my face that no one asked for my help. They don't want my help. That it's awesome. Yes, that is the word he uses. It is awesome to be stoned out on drugs, high on coke, depressed on alcohol, stimulated by the Red Bull and the vodka all at the same time, and that they didn't need me or want me there, and that I needed to just lay the hell off and just get out of their lives. And so I texted her boyfriend and let him know that that is exactly what happened and that's the way it was going to go, and that, you know, he was over in England working and I was stepping back because, honestly, there was nothing more for me to do. And if he actually did give a damn about his girlfriend, as he said he did, he would step in and do something to make sure that she got the treatment that she needed. And I know he has no money, and I don't really give a damn. If you care enough about a person to say that you love them, then you do what you need to do to make things happen. You do what you need to do to make things happen. You don't make excuses. You don't say you're too far away. You don't say that it's in somebody else's hands. You don't blame the person who is explaining to you what is going on and the risks that are being taken, especially to this person you love. Frankly, you don't do any of those things. You take a stand and you do what needs to be done, regardless. And I don't give a damn how hard it is, because God knows I've taken stands in multitudes of very, very hard situations, not only in my own life, but in the life of my family members. When it needed to be done, it needed to be done, because I wasn't going to think about what was going to happen if I did not step in knowing what I knew. Because you see, this is the other piece. To take a stand really means to take a stand for your values, to take a stand for your attitudes and your beliefs as you are a human being on this planet Earth. We're here to do the things that we're here to do, and when you see, you observe, you understand what is going on a deeper level than most of the observers around you who have no fucking clue because they're not educated, they don't know, they're not supposed to know. But you know, you need to take a stand. And it doesn't matter how hard it is, it doesn't matter if people yell at you, it doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't even matter if you're blamed for the behavior of someone else, because that happened to me in multiple situations in my own family, unfortunately, but that's true. And yet, I still did what I needed to do, which is why I don't take the bullshit that other people feed out to me as to their reasons, rationalizations, and excuses to be the victims in their lives, or the excuse as to why someone should not get the help that they need. Because excuses are excuses. Nothing more, nothing else. It's a rationalization. It's a reason. It's an excuse. I don't deal with that stuff. I work really hard to have intention. I work really hard to have congruence between that which I stand for and that which I do in my own life and that which I ask my clients to do. And as my very, very wise Hebrew teacher over in Israel told me, she said, you know, as hard as it was for you to learn your vocabulary here, I only learned about 50% of what most people learn, is as hard as it is for some of your clients to do the things that you're asking them to do in their own lives because of the fear factor involved. Point stated, point taken. And they still need to do what they need to do to get beyond their secondary gains, the limiting beliefs, their negative emotions that have put them into the closets of blackness that leaves them without a future that they can see or understand. In many cases, desperately wanting to be dead rather than alive because they see no hope. You see, that is what we're here to do. This is what we're here to take a stand for, those of us who are able to understand that there's a life a lot bigger than our own little shallow problems. And even if our problems are not shallow, there are so many people who have such deeper needs. They've had such deeper hurts. And I've heard the stories from my clients over the years, some of them that would make your blood boil, seriously. Antonio Martin's testimonial is among them, to give you an understanding of what this poor kid had been through by the time he was only 5.5 years old. His prefrontal cortex wasn't even developed to the point where he'd be able to reason or rationalize or understand another person's perspective. He was just too damn young. And yet the abuse that this poor young kid took at the hands of his so-called foster care people, these parents that were supposed to care for him, my God, the care he got inside our mental health so-called system of mental health was more like mental abuse that he went through, and torture. It went as far as torture in his case, as well as the abuse with sexual manipulation, verbal abuse, and even physical abuse in some situations in the households he was in before he was adopted at the age of 5 and a half by the family that was called by God to do so for him, to adopt him in. It is amazing to see what people have been able to turn around in their lives when they decided to take a stand for their own life, when they had loving parents, as Antonio was lucky enough to have. His father had searched for 5 and a half years to find a way to help heal his son, and damn, he found it. Because he didn't make reasons, he didn't make excuses, he didn't let himself get in his own way. What he did was he searched out the best of the best, and he found it. He found the methodology, and then he had to find the practitioner. And he did. I was that practitioner. And I didn't even know what the hell I was doing, except for the Creator creating through me. And Antonio today is living a much healthier, happier, more fulfilled life. Is his life perfect? No. However, he's living on his own. He's taking care of his own finances. He's working. He's doing what he needs to do to be as fulfilled as he can be at this point in life as he's working forward in his life. And you know what? My mission, my passion, my purpose is to help the children of the world after we help our healers, because it's only when our healers are healed and they get over their own traumas of having their business of medical health care taken away from them from this medical industrial complex that only understands greed and forced chemical restraints. I don't give a damn why they're giving the medication. It doesn't really matter to me, because most medication causes more harm than good. Few exceptions to that rule, like with antibacterials, if they're actually used to kill bacteria. Antivirals, they're used to kill viruses. And I would say radiation and some forms of chemo to get rid of tumors and to set broken bones and to do the scans to see what's going on in the body. And after that, I don't have any use for the medical complex as I know it. But our doctors, our healers, our mental health people are in so much pain. They're in so much trauma. They need so much help, so much support to be able to understand that their passion, their purpose, their reason for going to the medical world needs to be honored, and it needs to be loved, and we need to love them. We need to love them back to mental and emotional and physical, spiritual health so that they can heal our children of today, because our children of today are disempowered. They are so depressed. They are so anxiety-ridden. They are harming themselves. Some of them are killing themselves. Suicide is like the number two killer of our kids today. Anorexia is the number one killer of girls 15 to 24 years of age. Anxiety has taken over where the whole idea of flight has come from, and depression is actually the fright part of it all. It's just keeping them stuck and committing suicide. And we need to turn this around. And our foodstuffs are not nutritional anymore. Well, our nutrients and our grounds have been taken away. And we have these farmers using all these GMO products that are causing great harm. And we have these kids sitting on their asses watching videos and TV and IMing their friends and thinking that social media and Facebook is where it's all at, and this has nothing at all to do with true relationship building and being able to learn how to share and care and be interested in other people's lives and to communicate those feelings and emotions to people. You cannot do this through the freaking internet. Maybe on Skype to some degree, but seriously, not through writing, not at all. Especially to these people who they think are their friends, but they're really strangers, because people hide behind their computers and their iPhones. The only way to really get to know a person is face-to-face, eye-to-eye, soul-to-soul. This is what we need to recreate in our world. This is what we need to get back to. The things that I learned while I was in Africa to see the farm families and communities working together so they can make enough food, so they could feed themselves and maybe sell some to the restaurants and others who could use their commodities. Through my great client's father, Pascal Cabuto, who helps these farmers back in the areas where he grew up in basically a dirt floor shack up there on the farms, bringing it all back to his people with his PhD in engineering that he earned here in the States at Michigan University many moons ago. He too is all for helping our kids have a safe place to live because in Kenya it's a very unsafe place, especially in the city. And the donkeys too that they use to move all their products up and down the streets, along with the workers walking who cannot afford even the very inexpensive taxis that are really vans that are overrun with people, so much so that they're hanging out of the door and you wonder how they're actually able to get in and out of the thing at their stops. The way that they drive so crazily up and down the roads there, it's just absolute mayhem down there on the roads. Oh my god. Some roads I wouldn't even call roads, but somehow they navigate them. But these are the goods that the people over there are doing. These are the people that we need to help. Because until and unless we help our healers and help the people out there who are doing the things that need to be done out there in the world, until we can help these kids learn how to love themselves, they need to fall back in love with themselves. Until we're able to help them do that, to find the happiness and the fulfillment that children are supposed to be able to enjoy while they're kids, and take them away from this being forced to grow up before they're even old enough to understand what sexuality is, and yet they have all this sexual crap thrown in their face on the TV and on their computers and out there on the billboards and everywhere you look, you cannot get away from it. It's so sick and disgusting, I can't even tell you. We need to turn it around. And yet, there are those who aren't ready, who don't understand they even have that option, because they're so dead inside through all the drugs and through all the bodily abuse that they do to themselves that they're unreachable. Totally unreachable. And though it's really sad, the only thing you can do is back off and try again at some later date when maybe they might be a little bit more capable of hearing the message. It so happened that I left that particular house a few days early. I had my checkbook in hand and I had a copy of the check that I had written that she had totally forgot that I had written for her, even though I had to ask her to whom it needed to be written out to, because I didn't know if it had to be written out to her or to her landlord. And I had a copy of it made so that I could prove to her that she actually did have a check, that she did indeed endorse and get paid that $100. And I just sat down with her by her side on the couch in her living room and I showed this check to her, the copy of it, and handed it to her. I said, I owe you $400 for the time that I've been here last week and this week. And I explained to her what had happened and why the money was late in coming. And that made sense to her. But what was really interesting to me was that she wanted to know why I was leaving early. And I was only leaving about 3 days early. And I told her, because I have work that I need to do with the people on the East Coast. And I cannot be awakened 5-6 times a night just because that's the way the people there live. The jets going overhead, barking, yapping, dong all through the night, people coming in and out of our house at all hours, slamming doors, talking loudly on the phone, partying until the wee hours of the morning, even until the sun rises. Doesn't work for me. Unable to make any podcast while I was there, even during the quiet times, because I was coughing so hard from the stress involved in not getting any sleep, and the stress of living in a house with so much dysfunctionality and abuse going on. It was absolutely hopeless. So I told her I had to leave. And I told her that she could do so much better than what she was doing in her life. And that she needed to find something that she felt compellingly alive from doing. That has something more to do in her life than just herself or her family. I don't really know anything about her family. Frankly, she never talked about her family. I do know, though, from her behavior, that there was a lot of self-loathing involved there. I didn't really go into that aspect. I wanted to keep it on a more positive note with her, and I just told her that she does have intelligence and that she could use it to do so much more, so much better with her life, and that she needed to find a passion, a purpose, something that was more important than her own self-destructive behaviors, and to find herself some true friends who really, truly loved and cared for her unconditionally. It would not stand for her self-abuse any longer. And I told her that if that is the one message that she could get from my being there for the 5 weeks I was in that house, then it would have been worth everything I've been through to live there in that house, in that environment, to help her to see the light. And as her friend, a male friend, who I'd met for 2 seconds before, 2 days before, took my suitcase out to my car for me, as I asked them to help me do, because it's a very heavy suitcase, I told her to give me a hug, and I just told her she could do better. She deserved better. And I hoped again that if my coming into her life could help her to at least think about that idea, that concept, then it would have been worth my time there. Sometimes it's just about leaving someone with a thought they never had from a person who was abused by herself as well as other people in that house to rise above the chaos, the lack of self-love and care that she'd been through to get that point across. I didn't leave with anger. I didn't leave with hostility. I left with a loving heart. I just told her the way I view things as a professional person I am. And that under no circumstances would I ever just let that fly by without a comment, because that would be totally against who I am, what I stand for in this world, completely and totally. And so, it is. At this time, I would love to introduce you to a fantastic woman whose purpose is to inspire and empower others to be of service to humanity in a loving and caring manner while achieving their aspirations with integrity. Her name is Alicia Lawrence, and she has a podcast called I Live to Inspire. She also has a weblog where you can read the content. She says that everyone has their own definition of success and freedom, and she is moved to inspire you to get there by sharing her journey with you, called The Alicia Lawrence Show, I Live to Inspire, which you can easily find on Stitcher.com and iTunes. You love her warm, comforting Jamaican voice. If you'd prefer to read the content, go to her website at http://ilivetoinspire.com/podcast/. You will truly enjoy and learn much from what she shares with you.
Thank you for listening to the podcast, Claim Your Excellent Life, with your host, Suzanne Kellner-Zink, where she helps professional women learn how to be happy. Suzanne teaches you how to do this through building high self-esteem, relaxation and calm, and good, healthy relationships. Tune in every week as Suzanne shares effective strategies to help you claim your excellent life with happiness techniques, self-esteem building exercises, relationship tips, and relaxation information. Make sure to head over to dawningvisions.com to subscribe to the newsletter to receive your keys to happiness, as well as other useful free gifts for you.